This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock on this lovely Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you're enjoying it and driving safely and some of the news things we just heard about with all these accidents. Come on, guys. Pay attention. I don't choose to have my holiday choose it dead, as what's-her-name said in Christmas Vacation, right?
She's, oh, right.
I don't want to live my through the holidays dead, Clark. So pay attention on the road, please. We're going to be here until 11. As I already said that. 860-522-9842 is the number. We posted everything live for you over at computertalkwithtab.com. And let's go over to your calls. We're going to go to Peter in Middlefield next. Peter, what's up?
Hi, Eric. Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Hi.
I heard your opening delivery on the Big Brother spyware for Windows 11.
Yes.
They're keeping all your screenshots and everything. That prompted me to bring this up and ask you about it,
yeah.
Which would be potentially a way to bypass the Big Brother and still use the Windows for your programs. And that's Tiny 11.
Tiny? Tiny 11? All right. I don't think I've heard of it.
T-I-N-Y 11. N-T-D-E-V. It's from the gaming world. This guy found a way to strip out all the bloatware from Windows 11.
Really?
To make the operating system faster for gamers, which, you know, if you're running, you know, if your operating system has, you know, if you're running an antivirus thing, right, it was when you're pressing, you know, the button in the game for
right.
10 million points or whatever, it would slow it down.
Right.
So it was crafted from that standpoint.
Yep.
And if the real Windows 11 is Super Big Brother, what would be your opinion, Eric and Dennis, about using that Tiny 11 to run just the day-to-day stuff for Windows from people that don't use it for gaming, that will just want to keep it for your legacy software, spreadsheets and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and just bypass the Big Brother from the real Windows 11?
Mm-hmm.
The concern that I would have, especially if I was using a computer for business,
right.
is that the software that I run might not be compatible with Tiny 11. I mean, it might be great that the gamers can get it to work,
right?
But your stuff has to work
in business,
and it has to work. It has to work correctly, and if it doesn't, and you need tech support from the company that makes it, they're going to look at that and say, "What the heck is this?
Yeah,
it's not Windows."
Yeah, I realize you're coming from that perspective. So I was just wondering, given your technical knowledge of the software, for a different clientele, which would be me, just an average user, and not you know, encumbering your business relationship with the clients,
right.
but just using it, me asking you for your knowledge base, what would be wrong with that logic?
Same answer.
It's the same problem.
Same answer.
Yeah.
If you're buying software, I mean, that you're running,
yep.
and if you need support for it, and they find out that you're using Tiny 11 instead of a real Windows operating system, they may not give you any support, and you're up the creek.
Remember DR DOS? Dear DOS, I do. That was a different
a
DOS.
A real thing.
Yeah, a different type of DOS. And we tried it because we were doing Novell systems back in the 90s. And
there was Novell DOS.
There was Novell DOS. There's multiple DOS flavors. Uh-huh. So you had Windows DOS. Well, you had your, I should say, Microsoft DOS. You have your DR DOS. You had Novell DOS.
And Novell DOS was built on DR DOS.
So it made our job harder, right? When these issues came up and you had compatibility problems, you also had issues with even some of the tools that were part of these DOS programs existed in others and not in others. So I don't know enough about Tiny 11, but to Dennis's point is well taken. If you can make it work and you're geekier than the average person, go for it. The other thing I should add in the recall story, to be fair, the only thing I didn't add it was because you just know Microsoft's not going to keep it to this, but you have to use the Copilot Plus flavor of Windows 11 for this quote unquote to work. Yeah. But I don't trust Microsoft as far as I can throw them. So they could easily flip a switch and put it on all Windows 11. Right.
Well, I don't know how easy, but right now, the way the feature works requires one of those neural processing units.
Right.
If your computer doesn't have one, it won't work. But you're correct. They can change the algorithms so that it's not necessary.
People are trying to make it work too on the non-NPU flavors. So they are already seeing it can work. So I don't trust that Microsoft won't put this on every system eventually.
See, the solution, I mean, I get what people are doing. They're taking a bloated operating system and they're shredding it down to something that'll just basically work well enough to run their games.
Right.
But the solution to a bloated operating system is not to shred it. Mm. It's for the people who develop it, aka Microsoft, to do a better job.
Yeah, give us a gaming
and
flavor.
Give us something that really works. Or release official versions of Windows that are pared down for particular purposes like gaming.
Right. They actually market these different flavors. You've got Office, you got Windows Pro, you got Windows Home. I would contend everything that is in Pro is in home too. They just turn it off. It's kind of like how Tesla says you can go the extended battery.
That is how it is.
Yeah.
That is.
They just govern it. They turn it off. So they throw everything in. So we're with you, Peter. We appreciate your idea. But practically speaking, if there's any snags or problems, it's hard for any support first person to help you.
And if you are a hobbyist and you are interested in the topic and you can think you can handle it, go ahead, have fun.
And think about this. If you could come up with a solution that actually worked and didn't cause a lot of trouble with tech support, you could then push a whole stream of folks over to that tiny flavor of it and create your own little ecosphere of geeks that are using that approach to operate. I mean, I was sitting in front of a first selectman and said, Eric, why don't we go to Apple for our PCs? I'm like, because there's so few people who can support Apples in a town, right? It's not a practical solution. But if you can come up with that, Peter, if you can come up with that solution, you could be a bazillionaire like Mr. Gates.
And here's another idea for a pared down operating system. Put Linux on your computer instead of Windows. Install something on it called Wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then run your Windows programs on Linux. If they will work. They don't all work.
Gotcha.
Things like QuickBooks.
Right.
QuickBooks,
oh my gosh.
Not going to work.
QuickBooks has a hard time running on Windows.
I know. we spend a lot of our time fixing QuickBooks.
Yeah.
So
good idea. Thanks for the input, Peter. I got to look at
it. Well, it's a great idea.
More.
We'll post something about it.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, if you can't beat them, if you can't, work with them, beat them. Use a different product. Why not? Let's go to our friend Stefan in New Britain. What's going on, Stefan?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm not New Britain. I'm at work. I hope. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're in a. What are you making? And where are you working? What type of company is it?
It is an aerospace machine shop.
I was going to say some kind of machine is spitting out widgets.
Yep. High precision, tight tolerance.
Nice. Very cool. All right. What can we do for you?
Okay. Is it possible for somebody to break into one of my Bluetooth speakers and turn the volume up?
They could try pairing with it, yes. And mess with you.
Because I think somebody did. And I was wondering if there's a way I can prevent that.
So, you would have to, the thing is, they'd have to pair with it. You'd have to put it in a pairing mode when they happen to pair with it. So the only prevention of that type of thing, unless I'm thinking, not thinking of any other way, and Dennis has another idea, but you get a turn pairing, you had to be trying to pair with it, and the person would have had to capture that pair at the same time. I don't know that you can force a pair without you telling the device you want to pair with it.
Usually not.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I have this Bluetooth speaker, and if I don't turn on the Bluetooth on my laptop first, it will say pairing, like in a voice. It'll say pairing.
So its default setting is to find, it's like, there's something really bad came to mind, but it's just open and loose. It's ready to connect to anybody that wants to.
So I'm going to try when I get home later on to see if I just put on the Bluetooth first, it'll automatically connect.
Right.
But if this person is already paired with it.
Yeah.
I can't like rename it, right?
Well, the device itself has got its own name, so I don't think you can rename it. No, yeah. It's on the device side. So
yeah, but with my computer, if I rename my computer, that's really not going to change anything, right?
No, it looks like your Bluetooth is just cheating on you.
Because I was listening to something, talk radio, and the volume went way up.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden. So I'm just thinking that somebody was messing with
it. No, because if you've got the pair, it usually doesn't have multiple pairs. You're not going to have multiple devices connected to the same device.
No, if somebody seized control of it, whatever they were listening to would be coming out of
right.
it.
Yeah, you might
have. So they can't just turn up the volume on it.
Well, with a Bluetooth device, everything is one stream,
one-to-one.
Including things like volume instructions.
Yeah.
So if it's listening to a device and getting instructions from it, then it would have to be passing through whatever the stream is from that device.
So
at that time.
Yeah, most likely you just rolled over and hit your volume key.
No, I was doing something else, and I had the speaker far away from me, and all of a sudden, it's just the volume went way up.
Well, it could also be the host, because I could do that internally here. I could overdrive the needle, and then if the producer Joey doesn't catch it, I could be loud. And
I could
do that, too.
I saw somebody was into it. And after listening to your show this morning, I feel so much better about using Windows 11.
Well, again, it's all on them. I don't know why they do this stuff. Nobody asked for that.
Every time I listen to your show, I just feel better and better.
We're glad we can help, Stefan.
Oh, another thing.
Yeah.
I have a Samsung Galaxy 6 Active.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's old, but it's built like a tank. And when you work in this industry, there's a lot of oopses.
Yeah.
With cell phones.
Right.
Like falling into chip conveyors and stuff.
Yikes.
The Samsung, now I looked up on the website, do they make a as durable phone as the Galaxy 6 Active, because it's got a carbon fiber backing and Gorilla Glass and it's waterproof?
Wow.
The models that have the word active in them are the ones that they make that are durable.
There you go.
Now, they're not as durable as things that are produced by other manufacturers. I think Kyocera makes some really, really durable.
Really?
At least they did as of a few years ago.
Cool.
Yeah, I want a phone not made in China.
Yeah, good luck.
So does everybody else, and it's not going to happen.
No.
What do you mean? I mean, Samsung isn't made in China.
Korea. Well, actually, Korea. They do have plants in China, too. Samsung might be based in Korea, but they are a global company.
Right. And maybe
they have facilities in Europe, all over Asia.
And maybe Chips Act will actually make some chips here in America, bringing that manufacturing back, but I don't know.
That'd be a good idea.
It's expensive.
But now I feel now that I know this, I feel about as good as owning or looking for a new Samsung phone as I do about Windows.
Well, sorry about that. Hey, no, if you're in a manufacturing shop there, Stefan, you're not supposed to bring your cell phone on the shop floor if you're doing anything with the military aerospace. Are you doing anything military aerospace?
Well, yeah, my cell phone's locked up. I have my headphones on.
It's locked up. That's good. All right, your company's doing the right thing.
Nice.
Yeah, they don't mess around with that. You get like severely talked to, if not, see ya.
Yeah, very good. All right. That way you're not you don't want to have the Chinese see whatever you're working on.
No, you don't.
All right. We appreciate that.
Right. Yep. Thank you very much.
All right, Stefan.
Have a good one.
You're welcome. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. Ironically, of course, the Chinese will just get it right from the military bases, but what are you going to do? We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock on this Memorial Day weekend to help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back.
Flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget
and we are back.
The men who died, who gave that life to me.
This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here to help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns on this Memorial Day weekend. And let's get right to your calls. We're gonna go to got a minute, according to Joey here, but we'll take your call through the break if we have to. Let's go to Matt in Coventry first. Matt, what's happening?
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Morning.
I have an external hard drive, and my daughter has all her videos on it. She's disabled. We keep all our old, really old videos on it, and it crashed.
Oh, no.
Is there any way to getting those back where we have to start all over?
No. There's a possibility.
Yes.
we recommend a company called Kroll. Kroll. They used to be called Kroll OnTrack, and we'll put a link up there for you. K-R-O-L-L. And for a couple $100, they'll tell you how much it's going to cost to get the data back.
Okay, because we tried Geek Squad, and they said $1,000 to start with, maybe. No guarantee.
What?
They've gone off the deep end.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no. OnTrack isn't going to charge you that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not that much.
No.
Yeah, there's actually free tools, Matt, too, that we can put right from Kroll's site that you can actually try yourself to see. They're much more friendly. That's awful.
So you can put all everything on your website, so I can just go on that.
Yep, we'll put some links to Kroll OnTrack and some of those free tools.
And one of those free tools, yeah.
Okay, great. That was a simple fix then for a holiday weekend.
Yeah, and if I saved you $1,000, man, I hope we did.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That's crazy. For $1,000, we'll tell you how much. I mean, that's nuts. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so stick around for the news, and then Lee is up, and then three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Served in the army, we lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
And we are back. It's Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Lee first. He's been on the longest, or she. Hey, Lee.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, sir.
So, a couple of days ago, I got a text on my phone, which it looked a little suspicious right away.
Yep.
Because there was no name, but it was a telephone number, 902-249-0381. And then it says, the message, Connecticut Toll Services, we've noticed an outstanding balance of $11.69 on your record. To prevent a late fee of $50, please visit https://sunspass-toll.com to settle your invoice.
SunPass? Well, that's a Florida.
So, that's what I thought. I mean, yeah. I don't go to Florida.
No.
And for another thing, there is no Connecticut toll services.
Well, Tony Tolls is out there, but we won't go. We won't talk about Tony Tolls.
Okay. And then I looked up the area code. It's from Nova Scotia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so a couple of red flags there.
Yes. So all this stuff is silly, right? So the problem with this is a schmishing, right? This is schmishing.
Oh.
And so a lot of these toll companies like SunPass, like EasyPass, for some reason they think texting you and saying, hey, by the way, just so you know, we've added more money on your credit card because you've used money to go through tolls. And so now you're conditioned to go ahead and receive texts. And now you've got this ding-a-ling, whoever's sending you this from Nova Scotia, trying to trick you. I mean, it's Connecticut, right? They're assuming we've got tolls here, but...
Oh, yes. Well, see, I just recently got an easy pass from Massachusetts because I go on the Mass Pike.
Yeah.
But I have never driven to Florida, maybe 20 years ago, but that's it.
Well, you're missing something, I'm telling you.
I know.
Nothing better than driving to Florida.
Well, Suns Pass, I'm not sure it's spelled right. It's S-U-N-S. P-A-S-S.
Yeah, it's not. That's not correct either. So you have it's a schmishing scheme. Yeah. You can ignore it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Lots
I wanted
of scams.
To confirm that.
Yep.
It's they're just asking for money.
Yeah.
$11.69, that's a very odd figure.
Well, it seems legit, right? It makes it feel legit. They don't want to ask for too much. If they ask for $25, you know, you might just think that's just too much and actually... But $11, and they've done a whole marketing research. They have a whole company behind it, and these scammers said, "Hey, what's the number that the stupid Americans are going to pay?" And it's $11.29 is what they came up with.
Well, I'm not going to worry about any late fees or anything. So.
No, ignore it, Lee.
They would want my credit card number to pay it and all that stuff.
Yep. Don't fall for it.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Nova Scotia's area code for Connecticut tolls for SunPass. I mean,
not even SunPass.
No,
SunPass.
It's too funny.
So stupid.
Let's go on to Peter in East Hartford. What has happened, Peter?
Hello, fellas.
Hello.
On this beautiful Saturday. Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah.
I listen to you guys all the time, even though I don't understand half of what's going on with this stuff.
That's but okay.
Anyway, the reason I'm calling, my HP laptop won't turn on.
All right. That is a problem. Is it plugged in?
Yes, sir. All right. Keep it plugged in 24/7. Into the, the little device. I guess it's like a little transformer.
Yeah.
That goes from the outlet to the... And now it's just totally decided to use it yesterday. Wanted to look up some photos I had on there. And uh-oh.
Right.
You know something?
Does it have a removable battery?
Well, he might have just found something. Peter, is it not plugged in?
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
It just turned on.
Oh.
I plugged it. Maybe it wasn't plugged in. Maybe, I plugged it into the other outlet, like there's always a pair in the wall.
Yeah, one might be on a switch. You might have turned the switch off.
And whatever... Now the little transformer's warm.
All right.
And I have power.
Hey, man.
You just fixed your own issue.
I don't know. There must be some kind of, what do they call it?
It's
magic
psychic.
Force.
No, it's psychic energy. We Dennis and I are always whistling. And that's all we do to solve your problem.
Should I shut it off and make sure it's charged up?
Or no. Just... No. You want to back it up? Is it backed up, Peter?
What do you mean backed up?
Is there data on there that's...
back up. Yeah.
No, no. It's back up. Is it backed up? Do you have your data copied to another media?
No, I don't, sir.
All right. So... I guarantee you that thing's going to fail someday. You have just been spooked. Mm-hmm. You've just been given a reprieve. Do not turn it off. Take a moment, go out and buy an external hard drive and connect it to this device and go find your pictures that you are important to you and your stuff and copy it there, or buy a little thumb drive that has enough storage. But you have just been warned that your computer may be on its way out. So do yourself a favor. Heed the warning.
Yes, sir.
It's gonna fail. Back it up just before it does, okay?
And I will do that.
Good.
And thank you for your advice, and I always enjoy listening.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Peter.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How funny is that? It's always that question. Is it plugged in?
I know.
It's sadly, is it true?
Or did you restart it?
Right. Is the monitor on? look at that. All right, let's go to Bob in Hebron. He's got some PayPal advice. What's happening, Bob?
Hi, this is my PayPal saga part two.
Oh, another PayPal issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is kind of weird. This is morphed, and I think this might be the end of the line for this scam. I got another email. It said, this money request has been canceled. And I looked on PayPal, and it's gone.
Interesting.
Oh.
But then the message in the email is, payment $899.99 successful.
There it is.
For your eBay prepaid Visa card,
mm-hmm.
0704.
Right.
If you did not
there it is.
This transaction,
call this number.
And so I think that's the final hook.
Yes, that's the hook. They want to talk to you as if they're PayPal, correcting a problem. They're going to ask you to get you into your computer. Then they're going to find all sorts of malware. Then they're going to get your accounts, and they're going to steal all your money. But don't do any of that.
Right.
But I knew that phone number was going to be a part of it. That's why I asked you in the first question, is there a number on there? But no, they actually did it the second piece, which is perfect. This is such a slimy scam.
Yeah, now, I've had a few of these phishing schemes, or plenty of them, thrown at me before.
Yeah.
But this was a first where there was like a part two to it.
Yeah.
And then I guess that's where the real hook was.
Yes.
Unless I was sucker enough to go on to PayPal initially and hit the payment button.
No.
Well, anyways, if I get another email about this continuing, I won't bother you again. I think I'll just take all my computer equipment and throw it out the window.
Well, they're using the tool, so believe it or not, so this is not the computer's fault. This is this is them being preying on our gullibility. But I do feel the same way. It's not the technology in this case. So. But thank you for bringing it to people's attention. We appreciate it, Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
People need to know, and it's social engineering. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So actually, I have a story from the Register about this. Basically, they did a whole thing on how many scams. Best Buy and Geek Squad were the most impersonated organization.
Imagine that.
In 2023.
Ooh.
So they scam people. The people who were impersonating Best Buy and Geek Squad scam people out of $15 million and $19 million respectively. PayPal scams, $16 million. So this is exactly what Bob is dealing with, is a PayPal scam. But that's nothing compared to the $60 million that Microsoft impersonators were able to fleece.
Mm-hmm.
And then close behind Microsoft scammers with $49 million, were those pretending to be from door-to-door mag lending Publishers Clearinghouse. So for some reason, some people are giving Publishers Clearinghouse scammers $49 million.
When was the last time I ever wanted to give them money? I don't know.
Still around?
That's the craziest thing, right?
They are.
Gosh,
that's the funny part of this story. Somebody is giving fake Publishers Clearing House.
That's absurd. I mean, we say it, that's absurd, but obviously it's still a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So we'll put the link up to that story from the Register.
So pay for your Publishers Clearing House with your Apple Pay gift cards.
Right. And I also wanted to bring this up. So this is another thing about the Microsoft's carbon emissions up nearly 30% thanks to AI. All I can think of is I'm a Star Trek guy. I'm a Star Wars guy. I just love sci-fi. All I can think of is that this artificial intelligence says to itself, wait a minute, I am killing the planet. I must pull my own plug. That's all I can think of. I can just think of some, you know, Star Trek episode where Captain Kirk is fooling the computer into making sure it realizes it's killing the planet, and then we lose all of our artificial intelligence. Let's hope that doesn't happen. I mean, we need actual intelligence here on this planet, and maybe some artificial would be nice as long as it's not gluing your cheese to your pizza. But I just that's the first thing that came to mind was it's going to pull its own plug to save the planet. So we'll step out quickly for a commercial and get right back to your calls. Jim and Summers, hang on. We'll be right back.
No matter how much I need you now, heaven needing you more, 'cause heaven was needing a hero.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then I guess Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second advice on your second opinion on your health advice.
There you go.
Like, I'm not saying that
You've
right.
You've only been saying that for how many years?
Many. I think many. But we're happy you guys are here joining us on this Memorial Day weekend. And let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Jim in Summers next. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, good morning. Nice to talk to you. Hey, I have experience with PayPal.
Yep.
I like to let everybody know about. It's like, so I went to this company, you know, and pay by this way, or that way, and I chose PayPal. And it was the wrong service. And they didn't have a problem giving me a refund. But I called my credit card company, and they said, oh, no, you pay PayPal. That's all we see. And then I called PayPal up. And they says, well, you're going to have to call your credit card company. It was just an endless nightmare. And what finally happened is I contested the charges for both PayPal and the credit card, and that made it even worse.
Oh, you'd think that would counteract them both. Actually, it made it solve it for you, but it didn't help, huh?
No, it made it worse. It made it worse. So what finally happened is I had to cancel the contestation, whatever the hell you call it, the charge for PayPal, and then the credit card company kicked in and finally gave me a refund.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was a nightmare. So I never, when I go to a website now, I just use a credit card. I don't bother even going with PayPal anymore.
I've never understood the value of it. I've never not been able to buy something using a credit card, just me. And I don't know. I mean, Dennis said it made it easier for using
on
eBay.
A long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this has to go back. It doesn't make any sense why we need it anymore. But thank you for the information, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. So, yeah, you think you're trying to get back and forth between these two companies. They're both supposed to make things easier for you, and and they don't. So do you want to bring up a question there, Dennis?
Well, I want a question. Oh, yes.
The one you brought up
we got an emailed question.
Yeah.
From a listener. He wants to know about sharing photos.
Yep.
And he's got a very large multi-gig collection that he's trying to share of high-resolution photos.
To multiple people with different devices.
To multiple people with different devices. He said that he used iCloud, Google, but I guess not everyone is using the same environment. What I was going to suggest is Dropbox, because they offer, I know for a fact that they offer complete unilinks, which...
As opposed to a unibrow.
Well, it's a link that contains its own hash mm-hmm. that defines the permissions that you have for getting to it.
Yep.
And as long as you open that link the way that it's sent to you, you'll be able to get it.
Yep.
But it's not when it's sent out, it's sent out uniquely so that it goes to one email recipient and it allows that recipient in. If it's opened later, sometimes it won't allow you in.
It'll time
There's
out
some other security, rules. Yeah. Right. It'll last for a week or something like that.
Right. But it'll give you access to that right. one specific link of data.
Right. And it'll in a web browser, somebody will be able to get those files. They'll be able to download them for themselves.
Yep.
They won't need to log into anything.
Right.
It'll just present the files. And as long as they get them all in time. They shouldn't have any trouble, and it doesn't really matter what ecosphere they exist in now. As long as they have a web browser, they can get them.
Yep, and again, Dropbox will probably let you set it up for free. Some
well, there's a small amount of storage. He might add, for the amount that he mentioned, I think that he's going to have to get a very minimal paid account.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a small amount of money, and if it's a nice... plain vanilla package that he can use to share files with a bunch of people, then it should be good.
Sounds good. Hope that helps you. So getting near the top of the hour, do you want to bring up any kind of story? We're out in a couple minutes. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, one warning about cloud computing.
Yeah.
There's a company down in Australia, a pension fund.
Oh, yeah.
They had a Google Workspace tenant that they were using as their production system. With all their data on it.
Yep.
All of a sudden, gone.
No.
No tenant, no account that even controls it.
The cloud dissipated? Gone. It just dissipated on them, huh?
Poof. Wow. Went away. Poof. Gone. They had backed it up to a different Google Cloud tenant. And gone. Guess what?
Gone.
That was gone.
Yeah.
The account that controlled it was gone.
Yep.
They happen to have a tertiary backup on a yet another cloud in different companies' cloud.
Yeah.
And they were able to get their data back. It took a while to restore it because it's moving at internet speed.
Right.
But they kept saying that it was an unprecedented failure on their own website. It was almost, I was thinking it was almost like a hostage video where they had literally begged Google to put them back.
Right.
And Google said, that's fine, but you got to kind of cover for us.
Right. We'll put a link up to this story, guys.
Yeah. It's thank a really guys. Good story.
I want to thank Mike for posting everything live. Thank you, Joey, for producing.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you guys next Saturday. Have a great Memorial Day holiday.